We want to create the habit of walking in love. Be quick to forgive, quick to yield. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, it's amazing what a blessing it is to us.
Welcome to a special week on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Gloria Copeland along with her guests for an encouraging message on God's love. Learn how it builds strong family relationships and brings peace to your home. Now here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We have two special guests with us today, Kelly Copeland, Swisher, Terry, Lynn, Pearsons. Hallelujah. And we're all talking, we're all mothers, we're all happy mothers. We all love our children love us. And we're just going to talk about the love of God today. Hallelujah. And we're starting Mother's Day week. And we all have had some experience in being a mother, so we know it takes a lot of love on your part. And we know we have to receive a lot of love to make it work. Isn't that right?
That's Amen. Right.
So we want to just, I'm going to just start with the love chapter. We're going to center up on love. Love and marriage, you know, if you don't have one, you don't need the other. So we're going to.
What was the song, You Can't Have One Without the
yeah.
Other?
Well, I changed it to you don't need
you don't
the
need
other.
To.
So it's the love of God that makes a family. Mm. It's the love of God that makes a good marriage and a happy life. And if it's not there, marriage is tough. But why would we want to do it without the love of God? With the love of God, it's wonderful. So we're going to talk to mothers this week especially, and we're going to start off with love. The mother's love is the one that really determines the home. I'm telling you, the mother can settle everything. This, the love of God in a mother can bring such blessing to every member of the family. And that's our purpose and that's our job. We are to nourish in love. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Well, I'm going to start with the first verse, and I'm going to read it in Amplified. If this is the Apostle Paul speaking, says, If I can speak in the tongues of men and even angels, but have not love, I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So he's saying to us, nothing works without love. It's not worth anything. If I have prophetic powers and the gift of understanding divine will and purpose and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith to remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I'm a useless nobody. Boy, he just brought it right down to tell you and me, if we're not in love, we're not in anything. That's it.
I love
we have to have love.
I love the way the Amplified says that, a useless nobody.
A useless nobody. Isn't that true?
It struck me one day that if I will not let the love of God come out, then I don't provide Jesus his body.
That's right.
There's only...
Yeah.
We're the way that he shows love to people. And if we don't provide him ourselves to use, he has no body here
That's
to
right.
show his love.
That's good,
A useless
Kelly.
Nobody.
We are nobody, and we don't do anybody any good, do we? So even if you give your body to be burned, but you don't have love, this says you gain nothing. Now in verse 4, it begins to talk to us about love. This is a familiar scripture to all of us, and even in the Amplified, it's familiar to all of us, but it's something we continually have to remind ourselves of. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, never boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, and does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, unbecoming, rude, unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights and its own ways, for it is not self-seeking. Think about that. The love of God is not self-seeking. This is one that I really had to camp on in my early days. It is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It is. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades out. Excuse me. Or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Love never fails. Whatever situation you and I find ourselves in, when we're dealing with people, when we're dealing with family, loved ones, whatever, love never fails. That's what we have to do. And that's our word. That's our direction. That's our law. That one law of the Spirit to walk in love took the place of all the other commandments. How come? Because if you're walking in love, you're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to murder anybody. You're not going to steal from anybody. So the love of God is our way of life. When we're born again, we're born of love. Love, the love of God, shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God says. And so we yield to love instead of yielding to the old things that we used to yield to, temper or tantrums or meanness or whatever. We're born again and we have a new law. And it is the law of love, hallelujah. And that gives us a glimpse of it. Love is tough, and that's true. It's strong. It can't be broken. It can't be disturbed. If somebody does you wrong, you don't just get right back in that strife and in the warfare with them and hold a grudge or try to get even. Love just says, I forgive. Bless you. Have a great day. Hallelujah. And you know that works in marriage. It takes two people to fuss. It takes two people to have strife. And the thing for us to do is to learn that we don't ever have to be in strife. We don't ever have to be upset. We can forgive as quickly as anybody does anything bad to us. We can forgive it, whether it's in business, in marriage, in family. Whatever it is, what do we do? If somebody does wrong to us, what is it that we as believers are supposed to do? We're supposed to forgive. Just say, Lord, just I pray for them. I bless them. I hold nothing against them. I love them. Glory to God. And you know what happens? We get to stay free.
Amen.
We do not have to get under the bondage of strife. Love
really,
and strife are two opposites.
It doesn't even matter what somebody does.
No, it doesn't.
They may not be free.
No, it doesn't.
They may not be free, but you can be free in the middle of...
That's right. That's
regardless
exactly
of what's...
Right.
Don't you think that most people believe all this is true about God's love, but there's a disconnect between this being God's love that never fails and me being able to, like, put that into practice
yeah.
in my home? I just think that that's where people have a disconnect. And it's because you were saying how a mother can set the tone, but mother's love, just that natural, it can be so demanding having to have its own way, having to, you know, sometimes you hear people say, and it's tempting to say to your children, why are you doing this to me? You know, it's all about, it becomes all about you as a mother or you as a wife. Why is your behavior, this is how it's affecting me, and it becomes all about you, and it becomes difficult to walk in love. You don't call me. You don't do this. You're ruining
true.
Christmas because you're not showing up
yeah.
or whatever, you know. It becomes very selfish, and I think people have to realize that when you're born again, God's love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. So from side to side, top to bottom, we're filled with the love of God to walk in. But I think people need to make a decision that to walk in that and not your own natural ability to love. I think people confuse that. They're like, well, my love has failed. I can't do that. I can't be, I get offended or so-and-so's mean to me and I get my feelings hurt. But we have to choose that love inside of us.
And really, walking in love is a tremendous freedom because you do not have to be upset at anything anybody does. You can just say, well, I forgive them. Bless them, Lord. And what happens when you get in strife, when you get in unforgiveness? It opens the door to sickness, disease, all kind of bad things because you're letting the devil in on your territory when you get out of love. But if we'll stay in love and we'll just let this be our guide, we endure long and we're patient and kind. I'm telling you, when I first had children, when my children were young, I did not know all I know about being patient and kind. And they were irritating little characters.
Who?
I remember one day when Kelly was in about maybe Kelly might have been in the first grade and John was maybe not in school yet. And we were living in a small house in this little neighborhood. And the kitchen and the little sitting room was all together. Here was the kitchen. Here were two love seats facing each other in front of the fireplace and then the door to the outside or to the front. And John could absolutely exasperate the hair right off your head. I mean, he was just all boy and he was a character. And they tell me, and I do remember it, he irritated me so that I flat-footed over that love seat. Right,
you have to understand,
over.
That love seat was not a low back sofa.
No, it was a high back sofa.
Early American
kind of wing back, you know, sofa.
I remember that thing was about this high. John was only about this high.
But he had, as they say, got on my last nerve. I jumped over it and went after that boy. He didn't know what to think about it.
Well, now Marty's not here to defend John, but I'm at a loss for how to defend him.
Yeah, Kelly.
I was on the other end of it.
She was the big sister, so she had to put up with him, too. But, you know, it's so much easier just to raise your children in the love of God and understand all these things. I didn't understand all those things at that time.
Well, now, let me just step in here and I remember those things when you lost it. I remember them very well because they were very few and far between.
Good. Praise
so
Lord.
The times I think that you did just lose it, I remember
it
because
it made an impression.
It made an impression, I'm sure, on all of us. But you were very patient. I think about the things. I remember when we were working on the, well, I say we loosely.
Yeah.
You were working on the house in Arkansas. And pulling, you know, old wallpaper down, and we just didn't help at all, did we?
No.
Looking back, I remember that we didn't help.
No.
Is that the way you remember it?
Yes, that's the way I remember it.
But you were very patient. You were very patient.
Well, good.
With
that makes
us.
Me feel better.
And but John and I fought like all the time. It's nice to learn to walk in love with your brother. I think sometimes little boys. Little brothers, and often husbands, poke at their sisters like to get a reaction. I think sometimes husbands can do the same thing, you know, and you're like, you just have to walk in love. I told somebody the other day, I said, now you just need to use, it was one of the kids, I said, you just need to use Mimi's example of...
Oh, good.
You said to Dad, you said... Somehow, some way, I'm going to be a blessing to you. And you brought the tear.
Yeah.
I guess it was sincere.
I didn't do that on purpose.
But it was very effective.
You sound like I turned it on.
No, I know you didn't. I know you didn't.
That's right.
But it changed the moment. The love of God changed the moment when Dad was irritated about something. And you didn't fight. You didn't fuss back. You just had the love of God.
Well,
and
it's the easiest way to live, isn't it? Just to walk in love and not let things disturb you. And as quickly as somebody does something to you, says something to you, you just forgive it right there. Even if you don't say a word, just say, I yield to the love of God. I yield to forgiveness. And that's what we're going to talk about this week. Just letting love rule in our lives, in our mouth, in our words. And when we do miss it, I mean, we're not perfect. We're going to miss it sometimes about that. And we're going to say things we wish we hadn't. But, you know, you can get where you just, it becomes a part of your life. And just like to respond in the negative used to be the thing you'd just automatically do, if you'll meditate in the love of God from the Word of God and make a diligent effort to always walk in love, be quick to forgive, it'll jump up in you. The love of God will jump up in you as fast as the anger once did or the rage once did. And it just becomes your natural way of life, your natural response, your reflex, I guess. It's a love reflex instead of a hate reflex or a meanness reflex or a strife reflex. So walking in love and walking in love is the opposite of walking in strife. So we're going to talk about the love of God this week.
You know what's so powerful about that?
And what we've learned about it.
How it doesn't fail is now that you give the Lord an opportunity to move in on the situation,
yeah.
Bring both people, whether it's parents and children or husband and wife, bring all parties together to see things His way. It's very powerful, but if you're fussing, then you're not letting God have any place in it.
That's right. And if we respond in anger to, you can respond in anger to strangers or to anybody that gets in your way or gets your parking place or whatever. So we just create the habit. We want to create the habit of walking in love. Be quick to forgive. Quick to yield. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, it's amazing what a blessing it is to us. Because just think of the miserable times, maybe you never did this, but the miserable times maybe you and your husband had a fuss and you were both mad and you were this and you were that, and it hurts. And it brings bad instead of good. And so the love of God that we're going to center up on this week is what gives peace and blessing. And when children are raised in love, they themselves grow up to be lovers and to be people that yield to love and not to strife. So the Amplified says in chapter 14, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments. The spiritual gifts, in other words. So this is not, walking in love is not something that we have an option about. It's our commandment. It's what the whole church is built upon. It's what Jesus did when He came to us, for us. He came because of love. He paid the price for our sins. He took our sins. He took our sicknesses and our diseases. Love did that. So when we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, we're born of that love, and that love is on the inside of us. It's part of our new nature, but it has to be cultivated and yielded to. Just like walking up, above sin is part of our new nature. But yet, we can go ahead after we're born again and live a lifestyle of sin. So it's yielding. It's the blessing. It's coming out, the blessing coming out of us to other people. And really, it's much easier to live a love life than it is to live a strife life. That's hard. You know, I was raised in a home where there was strife and fussing, and it's hard on the children, and it's upsetting. And our children should have the privilege of living in peace and love and joy. And after we get born again, nobody in my family was born again, so we didn't know anything about that. But after we get born again, we live an entirely different lifestyle of the love of God. And the peace, love, what is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible calls it. All of those things, you know, they all operate out of love. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what do you girls have to say about that? Do you agree with that?
I think we agree with it.
I think so.
Amen. You said so many different things there. It'd be great. Maybe this, as we go on every day this week, we could just pick apart
Good.
Some of the things you said. You talked about, in fact, I'd like to hear from you. You mentioned meditating on the love of God. Probably a lot of people don't know what that means. Their idea of meditation is sitting cross-legged. And, but I can't picture you doing it
that way. No, I didn't sit cross-legged.
But to meditate, I know that there are times that you on purpose stop, you go to the scripture, and you think on it. Meditate on it. But then there's also the meditation. I think the dad talked about it one time, him being a pilot. He talked about being in a flight simulator. Well, my son-in-law works at Simi-Flight, where they have flight simulators, and people come in to get their education in different jet training. But in those simulators, it's so real that the practice qualifies for having gone through the real experience. And Dad talked about the time of sitting on the couch and putting himself in different situations and practicing in his thoughts with the Word of God. So, in other words, not waiting until your husband says something.
How to respond in such situations.
Yeah, you practice it before you hit it, you know. So, or maybe you rethink old situations. Those simulators are, they take actual flight situations, actual flight crises, actual flight landing patterns, weather situations, actual things that have happened. They bring them in from what they learned from them, and then they put other people through that same simulation. So to meditate the Word, one way is you go through and you say, okay, love is kind. Well, kindness doesn't just mean soft-spoken, but it actually means doing something, not because somebody did something for you, but it's an act of benefit to somebody else of your own choosing.
Going out of your way.
Out of your way, regardless of somebody else. So maybe you would think about what can you do that's kind? And you just think on it, and then let the Holy Spirit get involved. Anyway, I know we're out of town for today.
We are.
Maybe we can talk about some specific ways.
Don't go away, and I'll be right back.
I use the Bible as my guide. It's my little instructions manual for how I live my life. And that's what I try to accomplish.
To walk in love is to walk in light for us. It means everything to us. We teach it all the time. Yeah. We live it. You know, not entering in strife. Always just loving on people, helping people as much as we are able to. Just staying where the wicked one toucheth him not.
God has a good plan for families. His ways keep singles secure, marriages strong, children safe, and relationships prospering. The Family of Faith package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries is a practical, word-based resource to help you build your home on the solid foundation of God's Word. Family Promises by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland arms you with God's scriptural truths that help you stand strong for your family. Protecting Your Family in Dangerous Times by Kelly Copeland Swisher removes the fear and lets you know God is there for you no matter what the circumstance. Grace of a Godly Woman by Terry Copeland Pearsons equips you to handle all that you're facing with God's grace and strength. And Hannah's Miracle Child by Marty Copeland brings inspiration to those believing for children. You can have the relationships and family you've always dreamed of. Take hold of God's promises and have faith in God. Order your Family of Faith package for just $19. This package contains material that is sure to help you overcome many of life's challenges and enjoy lasting relationships in every area of your life. For 48-hour processing, order Family of Faith package online at kcm.org. You may also call or write to us today. For these and other KCM products, go to www.kcm.org.
We've got something good for you this week, the Family of Faith Package. This package covers areas of faith for every one of your family members. The Family Promises, Protecting Your Family in Dangerous Times, as Kelly Copeland, and Grace of a Godly Woman, Terry Copeland Pearson's, and there is Marty and John's little miracle girl, Alex, Hannah's miracle child. How to have babies when they didn't think you could. Hallelujah. So these are all great testimonies and books, and we want to offer them to you. You know, raising children in the Lord is an awesome honor and privilege, and it has such great dividends to have a family come up with knowing the Lord, the Word instilled in them, so that when they're old, they didn't depart from it. And then you have sons and daughters and grandchildren and so on and so on. The Word gets passed down, and you have spiritual family, and that's a blessing. So we're going to pray for your children that are away from God today, and you just lay hold of it. And all of us that are going to pray, whether we have children in that situation or not, we're going to pray for your children. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up every person today listening that is believing for a wayward child, a child who is away from you, or perhaps they don't even know where their children are. Now, we pray over those children. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. Whatever age they are, we believe for them, Lord, to hear you, to turn to you, put labors across their path, get them born again, and bring them back in contact with their families. In Jesus' name, Satan, I break your power over those children in the name of Jesus, and we believe we receive the salvation and deliverance of every one of the children you're believing for. We're in agreement with you. You send us the testimonies when they come in. Kelly and Steve Swisher behind the mission. That is June the 25th through the 26th in Chicago, Illinois. Victory Long Beach, Victory at the Long Beach meeting. July the 8th through the 10th. And that would be, of course, in California. We want you to come.
That's our family meeting.
That's the family meeting. It's going to be a great meeting. So go to the website, get all the information. You know, if we want a change, we make a change. If you want a change in your life, go for God. Go for where the Word is. Get in the situation. We love you and thank you. And this is Kelly, Terry, and Gloria reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Gloria Copeland will be signing her new book, Live Long, Finish Strong, in bookstores on May 13th and 14th. Come and see her in Chicago, Illinois, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Houston, Texas, and Atlanta, Georgia. For information and details on times and bookstore locations, go to kcm.org. Live Long, Finish Strong by Gloria Copeland releases on May 10th and will be available wherever books are sold. Visit kcm.org and get an exciting look at listings, meeting schedules, product news, and much more. View KCM meetings live or watch Believer's Voice of Victory webcasts on demand. That's kcm.org.